I'm going to ask you to have handy that cover image of your bulletin. When I look at the image on our bulletin cover, I think early 20th century Americana. I conjure up sentimental feelings for a Thanksgiving day where everything from the cranberry sauce to the pumpkin pie filling is made from scratch by some auntie you grew up with. Cousins running around in the yard, fathers elsewhere in the house talking about crop yields on their farms. Everywhere, barely contained glee at the feast to come. And I feel this twinge of longing for those times, for the simplicity that images like this one imply, for the good old days. You know, there should be a word for the nostalgia you feel for a time you never lived in. Because I never really had such Thanksgivings in my life. Maybe some of you did, maybe not. Yet the idea exists for us all of that perfect Thanksgiving day we once had. We had celebrations that came close or were the same but different, tamales instead of turkey, or just mom and grandma in the kitchen and you were an only child. I would guess that almost everyone had at least one day like that, one whose memory gets activated every year around this time, with an accompanying ache for its return. I have some Thanksgiving Day advice for you, a sort of recipe, if you will. I realize that it's coming a little too late for this year, but you might want to try it out next holiday season, or whenever, really. And that is this: embrace that nostalgic, bittersweet ache for those Thanksgivings past. Embrace it. Insist in your heart that it's still possible to go back there in the future. But this time, take everyone back there with you that you can. Don't hold it close to your chest. My memory. Instead, find ways to make it real for others. Time travel that feeling to now. In other words, try to live your life with that joy, with that cheerfulness and gratitude, no matter what your circumstance or the news of the world may bring. And share that feeling with others. Be a part of their best day. Don't let the darkness take over. Don't allow yourself to shut down and isolate so that your only concerns are for yourself and those you love. Live in such a way that there's more Thanksgiving in the world because of you. I guess I'm sort of asking you to walk a tricky tightrope here. On the one hand, I invite you to be an optimistic presence in the world because it is so needed. On the other hand, I urge you not to let your sunny outlook blind you to the misery of others. And on the third hand, my octopuses, don't let the world's woes ruin your Thanksgiving. But don't let your Thanksgiving either be shallow or thoughtless about the reality of our times. Both and. Maybe a few examples will help. I can't find the article now, but a young Afghan woman was interviewed recently, a year after she had made it out of that country and was now living in the United States. Remembering her first Thanksgiving last year, she marveled at the kindness of so many Americans who stepped forward to help her. An assistance that continues to this best we are to live in this country. The freedom of religion, the rights of women, the opportunities that exist for education and advancement compared with her home country. And it's funny because my liberal mind immediately wants to say, well, how about a freedom from religion? And women's rights are threatened every day. And advancement for some, but not others. And yet from her perspective, and in a way more real than in many other countries, she's right about us. We are lucky to live here. And I believe there is more kindness than hatred in our American hearts. But we lose our way so often that it's easy to forget how good we actually have it. Can we be thankful while remaining aware that there is still a long way to go before we reach true equity? I think so. We can do both. And I'm grateful to this young Afghan woman for her perspective on us, a reminder perhaps of that nostalgic best country we thought ourselves to be, and a charge to not let that reputation, however true or false, rot in the past, but to finally make it real in the present and in the future. Richard M. Fierro is the retired, keeping him from killing even more people. Fierro's combat instincts took over from 4 deployments in the Middle East. He saved lives. He is a hero. But he paid a price for the skills that made him one last week. The New York Times reports, Mr. Fierro was trying to get better at going out. In Iraq and Afghanistan, he had been shot at, seen roadside bombs shred trucks in his platoon, and lost friends. The wars were both past and still present. For a long time after coming home, crowds put him on edge. No matter how much he tried to relax, part of him was always ready for an attack, like an itch that could not be scratched. It had been hell on his wife and daughter. He was working on it. In a way, you could say that his personal struggles were put to great use in a situation he hoped never to encounter. But he showed up fully that Saturday night when it came anyway. And as a result, survivors of that night will be able to gather for a Thanksgiving meal today with profound gratitude for their life and for this man. As I said earlier, don't let the darkness take over. Live in such a way that there is more Thanksgiving in the world because of you. For me, the best part of this story is what Mr. Fierro told reporters about his experience at the club that night, also from the Times. It was his first time at a drag show, and he was digging it. He had spent 15 years in the Army and now relished his role as a civilian and a father, watching one of his daughter's old high school friends perform. These kids want to live that way. Want to have a good time. Have at it, he said, as he described the night. I'm happy about it, because that is what I fought for, so they can do whatever the hell they want. Isn't that something? To have a heart so big, it can suffer traumatic experiences of war, alongside a wish that all that suffering meant something for the joy and the life of others. Without judgment, without politics, without resentment. I'm reminded of a lyric from a 1995 Juliana Hatfield song called Universal Heartbeat. A heart that hurts is a heart that works. So I've given you a recipe for Thanksgiving. I've given you examples of how it's recently been used. Now let me just be direct and tell you how I think you should live. Or at least how I hope to live in the years to come. Because the answer, the advice I have for you is actually right there in our second reading from Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. I would in fact seriously urge you to print those verses out at home and affix them to your front door to read every day before you step out into the world. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's all you need. These four verses may in fact be the purest expression in the Bible of how to live a life grounded in God with gentleness and peace. Maybe I would add a verse about wishing the same for everyone else and working towards that as a goal. The neurologist and author Oliver Sacks helped thousands of people live better lives. When he knew he was dying of cancer in 2015, he shared this reflection. I shall no longer look at NewsHour every night. I shall no longer pay any attention to politics or arguments about glory. Yet my predominant feeling is one of gratitude. I have loved and been loved. I have been given much, and I have given something in return. May we all be blessed with that same feeling, that same sentiment, when our time comes. For then, it truly will be that perfect Thanksgiving Day once more.